following program was pre-recorded. To ask a question on the air, call 1-800-229-3000 Monday through Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Welcome to New Life Live, the premier place to receive free advice from Christian psychologists and counselors for the mental, emotional, relational, and spiritual challenges you face. Since 1988, we've offered compassionate responses that combine God's truth with proven psychological principles to guide you toward healing. Our phone lines are open. Call us now at 1-800-229-3000.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Who's there?
Thank you. Orange.
Orange who?
Orange, you glad there's Christian Counseling Radio. Yes. Thank you. I'm here all week. Well, maybe not after that joke, so-called joke. Brian Perez here. This is New Life Live. 1-800-229-3000 is the number to call us. We're going to be in the studio for the next 2 hours. As a reminder, when you call us to get on the program, you can remain anonymous. The important thing is that you call. And here to help you with free advice are clinical psychologist Dr. Jill Hubbard and licensed marriage and family therapist Chris Williams. Chris, I bet when people recognize you on the street, they say, "You're Chris Williams. You got anything to confess?"
Right. Maybe I should set up a confession booth.
Hey, yeah. That's an idea.
And it could be two-way street, right?
Yes.
So I'll confess, they'll confess, and we'll just have a whole confessor thing.
I love it.
Yeah.
Great idea.
All right. So today, here's what I'm confessing. I could be like one of those people that gets on social media or out in the community or out in the world where I kind of like other people seem to be happier, more successful, mm-hmm. better parents, better spouses, all those sort of things, you know, the good life. And there's some days where I get down and I'm like, man, that doesn't mm-hmm. seem to be me, and it seems mm-hmm. far away. Well, that leads to a lot of discontentment and stress mm-hmm. and possibly depression, a lot of bad things. And I love God's word because it has wisdom for pretty much everything. So yesterday I was reading through Psalm 37 and I was hit up the head with a couple of really, really important things. One was this simple line that says, do good, trust God. Mm-hmm. I mean, just as simple as that. Do good, trust God.
This is one of my favorite psalms, by the way.
Oh, good, right? Yeah. So help me out here. So it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Later on in Scripture, we see that Paul says this in Philippians. He says, I learned the secret of contentment, whether I have much or whether I have little. And then he says, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. And so it's that settling ourselves in contentment of the Lord is really, really important. But there is the ugly side of getting trapped in discontentment, getting trapped in resentment, in comparison. And because later in the psalm, and going back to Psalm 37, it says this in verse 8. Refrain from anger, turn from wrath, do not fret, it only leads to evil. I'm like, oh my goodness, right there. Fretting turns oftentimes maybe to greed, envy, jealousy, mm-hmm. yep. all these other things that stir up inside of us. You know, when you look in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it talked about resentment being the chief offender, meaning that resentment is going to get you to drink quicker than anything else. It's going to get us to medicate and do all these unhealthy things in our lives and possibly even feed addictive behaviors. So the confession today is my discontentment actually is beyond just discontentment. My fretting and my envy is beyond that. It actually makes me vulnerable to much more dangerous and destructive things in my life. And like Paul, I'm going to be on the journey to learning the secret of contentment and finding yeah. contentment in the Lord.
It's a learning process.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a muscle.
Well,
sure.
It shows you what you want, right? And
yes.
that psalm is great if you highlight all the action steps in there.
Oh, that's very good.
It tells you what to do
yeah.
instead.
That's so good, Joe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So read Psalm 37 today.
Yep. That's your homework. We'll be right back here on New Life Live. We've got Kate and Judy standing by, and we want to talk to you as well.
I went to Every Man's Battle in 2012. My sexual integrity was not what it should have been. I sought out affairs, whether physical or emotional. Until I came to Every Man's Battle, I didn't understand that would never fill that void.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, affairs, pornography.
The shame and guilt was overwhelming.
For over 20 years, New Life Ministries has been helping men regain their integrity through their one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive.
You will discover what the true root of your pain is, and you will discover how to overcome.
You don't have to struggle any longer. Get help in Dallas, Texas, June 5th through the 7th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Use the discount code NLL to save $50.
Every Man's Battle saved my life.
1-800-NEW-LIFE and the discount code NLL. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Summer is starting real soon, and for lots of people, it's a different routine. Maybe some of you get to sleep in a little bit later, or you're going to be traveling, maybe hitting the beach or going on vacation, stuck at the airport, driving all night. Before you leave, pack the New Life app onto your phone or tablet. No extra carry-on fees. Download the app for the easiest way to watch or listen on the go. Well, unless you're driving, then we don't want you watching. Listening will suffice. You can listen live or at your convenience. Look us up on the App Store or Google Play, or just come to newlife.com to get the direct links. 1-800-229-3000 is our number. We've got Dr. Jill Hubbard and Chris Williams here, and we're going to go to the phones. Here is Kate in Allentown, Pennsylvania, listening on WBYN. Welcome, Kate, to New Life Live.
Thank you. Love you guys. I go way back. I'm 61. I've listened for 30-plus years, gone to workshops, done counseling with Jill, read many of your books. I love you guys.
Maybe you should be in the studio with us,
yes.
Kate. My goodness, that's awesome. Well, we love that you're a longtime listener. So, how can we help you?
So I have three kids, two boys and a girl, all in their 20s. And I'm concerned more for my daughter. What is the right expectation for sexual integrity to expect in a date? There's different forms of sex, so my husband's in recovery from sexual addiction, and one of my sons is. My son's actually never had sex, but, you know, the other thing. And I know it's really a big problem, you know, and I know my son's a Christian, he's working very hard, and, I know a lot of men aren't honest about it, but how clean or how... I know it's a really hard issue for guys, and especially guys in their 20s and 30s, and I'm not saying it's not for older men as well, but am I making sense? What's the expectation for a dating girl in the 20s and 30s as far as sexual integrity for men? Do you know what I'm saying without me saying too much?
Because sometimes hi, Kate.
I say too much. Hi, Jill.
I'm wondering, is this just a concern that you have? Is this something you've been talking with your daughter about? Is this something she approached you on? And what is she saying?
Well, we're not that close yet. No, we haven't. But one of my sons and I, we were talking about this today, and he's chatting with a new girl, and he had shared about his struggle with porn, and she had a boyfriend that lied before about it and said, now she's pulling back, which I totally get. Like, I'm not saying she should be with my son. And I said to my son, I'm calling New Life today. I said, I'm going to ask him, and I'm also a chaplain, if I'm, mentoring a girl or something, like, I don't know. I mean, I would definitely recommend you guys, because I do for tons of, different scenarios. But I know I've read Every Man's Saddle, I don't know, for a young girl, I feel bad because I know it's rampant for sexual integrity for men. And I'm not saying it's not for women, because one of my sons went to a Christian Bible school, and the stuff he told me was absolutely shocking. Mm-hmm. And he said, Mom, a lot of women are into porn. And I was like, oh my goodness, So that's how we started the conversation. So I thought, I could just tell my daughter, hey, I was on this program today if you want to listen,
Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely think it's something that both both partners need to take responsibility for. Mm-hmm. So each individual needs to make a decision before they're in the situation, and to really reflect on what have they done when they've been in past situations. What boundaries do they let down? And why? And to reflect on that. What are they afraid of? Are they afraid mm-hmm. the person won't like them if they don't do more? Or are they the person wanting more and wanting to push? Because, you know, it's easier to be sexually intimate, believe it or not, than emotionally intimate. Mm. And so it's easier to go there. And here's the thing. Once you go there, however the farthest is you've gone, you will now start trying to go there every time or frequently. And so then it cuts off. So if you become sexually active too soon or out of the right context, it cuts off the emotional growth, and relationships stop growing emotionally and they just become physically familiar. And that isn't true intimacy. And so you have to really think it through and talk about, what do I really want? And if I want a guy that has sexual integrity, then I have to have sexual integrity.
Yeah.
And I can't use that to see if he likes me. Because, you know, the old adage, women give sex to get love. And men give love to get sex, right?
That's how it goes. That sounds right. Mm-hmm. I think building upon that, it's that sexual integrity issues are it's a thing, and pornography is a thing. You know, compulsive sexual behavior is a thing. All of these things are a thing in the world. And I think the first and foremost thing is the expectation is that you don't expect it's not. What I mean by that is it's too easy to hide, deny. It's too easy to ignore. These are tough conversations that we'd rather avoid than have. So I think the first expectation is that we talk about it. Mm-hmm. We talk about the use of technology. We talk about sexual integrity. We talk about what it is and what it's not and what you need. And so the more that we have these conversations, and the more that we talk about what we need in the relationship, and I freely talk about this with in relationships, is there's this idea that, like, technology is a solo thing, meaning that, like, oh, my phone is only for me, and you just need to trust me, and no one else has access to it. I'm like, no. You know, with a great adage of, I think it was Spider-Man, with great freedom comes great responsibility. Technology allows us, unfortunately, a tremendous amount of freedom, but we just don't seem to want the responsibility of accountability, the responsibility that what happens on our phone doesn't stay in our phone. It's not Vegas. It goes everywhere we are. And so, again, all of this is the expectation that our activities need to be in the light. And so I want, you know, females out there to know that, yeah, if you need transparency, you ask for transparency. And if who you're dating doesn't want to give you transparency in these areas, I think you got a red flag.
Mm-hmm. But even if they're being transparent, how do you know that they're telling the truth? I mean, the guy could say, oh, no, I don't look at porn, or yes, I was once addicted to it, but I'm over it now.
Well, usually the words and actions have to match.
Yeah.
And if you're sensing there's a disconnect there, that's something to not ignore.
Well, and get curious. Oh, well, tell me, what did you do? Tell me what was it like? Tell me what was like, you know, as I say, the devil's in the details, so is God, so you might as well get in the details. And again, a lot of this, we don't want to go there. And sometimes it feels like, you know, if you're dating, you can go there. Like, if this is a first date conversation, it might be a little too much, right?
Yes.
But I want this to be an expectation on the table for people dating, that we talk about the use of technology. We talk about sex. We talk about pornography. We talk about all of these things that are happening in our lives, including our histories.
Yeah. So, like, Steve used to recommend asking, what's your relationship with porn?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And asking that early on in the dating process. I mean, and Kate, kudos to your son for, you know, putting that out there. I don't know how soon he did. And like you were saying, Chris, we don't need to necessarily do it on the first date.
Yeah.
But as, you know, things are progressing early on, to have those conversations. Because some people, again, are looking for some sign. Does this person like me? Are they interested? And sometimes they use sexual advances as a measure of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So words are better.
Words and actions are much, much better.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think being looking for, hey, if I struggle with porn, what have you done, you know, mm-hmm. to recover from that, to create barriers and accountabilities around that? And so, you know, if a guy says, hey, this is something I've struggled with, so now I have these accountabilities and these lockdowns on my phone.
Right.
All of these different devices that we can have out there that make accessibility more difficult. Oh, I've joined a group. I've gotten help. I've seen a counselor. I'm working on these, you know, I'm in community with other men where we talk about this and hold each other accountable and support each other. So once you get details around that, And that the actions are followed up, and you can see that this person is living and walking
right.
these things out in their life, that's way more trust, I think, in the end, than just saying, you know, well, I don't struggle with it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, right. When somebody says, oh, I used to struggle and now I don't, but
yeah.
they don't talk about their process, that's
yeah.
always suspect too. But like in the case, Kate, with your son, okay, he was obviously dating someone who had been hurt. So she immediately assumed, oh, because you have this problem too, you're going to lie to me and do all these things.
Right.
So to be able to say, you know, I know you've been hurt in these areas, which is why I want to be transparent with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to tell you what I've done to, you know, stay on top of this and to not have it impact my relationships. That's very different, and that's being more attuned to where the other person is at. So anytime you can do that, mm-hmm. I think it helps.
Yeah.
This is really good stuff. Here's my quick question. Let's say a woman says, you asked about the porn, and the man says, well, I've had 3 years, but recently I've struggled. Does she come back and say, well, let me know when you have a year again? Like, should she put a limit on it? Like, she only date guys that have like a year sobriety, or do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, but I also think that that's incredibly arbitrary.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay,
at the end of the day, that's trying to be a little too controlling of mm-hmm. the aspect of it. Because if you had 3 years, what's 1 year? Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's mm-hmm. why I'm saying, what is the process that creates
okay.
sexual safety and security with integrity in the relationship? And what are you doing today around that?
Well, what led up to the slip?
Yeah.
And was it just a slip, or did they go full bore back into the addiction?
Yeah.
So, like, where did they take that? And were, are they aware of why?
Yeah.
Why it happened?
Oh,
what
boy,
did they
good
do
stuff.
About it?
Very mm-hmm. good. Very thorough. Thank you so much.
All right, Kate, thank you so much for your phone call today here on New Life Live. 1-800-229-3000 is the number to call if you want to talk to Dr. Jill Hubbard or Chris Williams. We're going to be in the studio for 2 hours today. We'd love to chat with you. Here is Judy, who is also listening to us on WBYN in Reading, Pennsylvania. Hi there, Judy. Welcome to New Life Live on line two.
Hi. Thank
Hi.
You for listening to me. My question is that I need to know how to begin the process of an assessment for our 34-year-old daughter, who has struggled a good bit of her life with relationships. And we're starting to think, after she's visited therapists and counselors, that she needs something more. Now, I don't know much about this, so I would need to know how to start something like this. She's aware that I'm doing this. She's 34 years old, and she's a nurse, and she's working her job right now. And she's got a good education and everything, but she is having trouble with relationships. And so how would I start? Who would I go to for an assessment? And I don't even know if I'm using the right word, assessment.
Hmm. Well, what,
how do I am
it? Because struggle with relationships is pretty humanly universal.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly yes. does her struggles look like?
Well, her struggles are, first of all, she can't find a man to marry.
Mm-hmm.
And she lashes out at people. She can use bad language sometimes. She seems to be into herself and does not understand how her actions hurt or affect other people.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't seem to be able to grasp that. She'll say something and wonder why that person's reacting the way they are.
Mm. Yeah.
So and this has all been going on for quite a while, and there's something that's different about her.
Mm.
And it's deeper than, you know, something that she can go to a meeting about or group therapy. It seems to be something that she may have, and it's a part of her. And how do you take something away from a part away from somebody who she was born with?
All right, Judy, I'm going to have to put you on hold just for a few minutes because we've got to go to break here on New Life Live. But thanks for your phone call. Yvette, we see you as well. 1-800-229-3000 is the number to call us here in the studio. We're going to be here for 2 hours today, and we'd love to talk to you about whatever it is you're going through, or maybe you call on behalf of a loved one. We'll be right back.
Everybody, it's Becky Brown. If you want to be part of what God is doing through New Life, we have a matching gift campaign going on right now. We had a group of donors. They believe in the ministry of New Life. They see how our world needs truth, compassion, needs grace, and it needs some clinical expertise. And so we started with a seed of $250,000, and we have just been blessed with another additional $50,000 towards the seed. So the match is now at $300,000. So that means every dollar that you give will be doubled up to that amount, and it will make a difference in the lives of so many people. It helps New Life continue to do the work that we've done for close to 40 years. I want to encourage you, if you want to be part of the match, you can go to newlife.com/match, or you can text the word match to 28950 or call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Your gift will be doubled and will make such a difference in the lives of so many people.
Do you need help for life's hard situations?
My husband recently said he wanted a divorce.
I'm confused on what I should do.
I have an eating disorder.
New Life Live answers your questions on relationships, grief, addiction, trauma, anxiety, and much more, all from a biblical perspective with our panel of professional counselors and psychologists.
I learn a lot from your program.
You help so many people.
I appreciate your ministry.
Whether you listen or watch, there are so many ways to connect with us to ask our panel of counselors a question. Call us Monday through Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific at 1-800-229-3000 to ask your question on New Life Live. Or go to newlife.com/radio for other ways to get your question answered.
I'm trying to find help.
I just want to know how to set boundaries.
If it's a sin, what am I supposed to do?
Need a therapist or a coach, a resource or an intensive? Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Let's go back to Judy in Reading, Pennsylvania. Are you still with us, Judy?
Hello?
Yeah, there you are. Okay, so.
Yeah, I'm here.
Any questions for Judy, guys?
So, well,
you want
me to jump in?
Yeah, go for it.
So,
Jill.
Judy, we were talking at the break and you're wanting to have her assessed, and you gave us a lot of descriptors about her, and it definitely sounds like she lacks some awareness. So I'm wondering, has she ever been in therapy? And we were thinking about a therapist, possibly a psychologist, that also has experience in like spectrum disorders, personality disorders, and maybe even does assessment or has access to assessment. So I think she needs to meet with somebody and have them get to know her a bit and then utilize assessments as needed. But people who work a lot with these issues, it's not like you need necessarily a formal assessment, and unless you need it for something to have some kind of formalized diagnosis. But I think they can tell pretty readily. And so, but helping your daughter to learn how to, you know, if people are responding to her and they're hurt, then she has to learn how to interact with people differently.
Yes, I know what you're saying, and we have been through this. This has been going on for years.
Okay,
and,
that's what I was wondering, what you've done.
Yes, and I have, I think I know my manners and courtesies real well, and she doesn't. Mm-hmm. She just doesn't get it, mm-hmm. and she doesn't understand. For instance, Mother's Day, I called, she didn't call me, so I started calling her. She's in Florida, and I called her and called her, and she didn't answer, and so I called my other daughter and said, do you know where she is? You know, and I called her some more, and then I went to bed. And then the next morning, the first thing I did was call her. She answers the phone. And I said, you know, where were you yesterday? And she says, I don't celebrate Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, do you have any idea how that affected me?
Mm-hmm.
And she really didn't answer that. It was a short phone call because she had to go to work. And the next, a couple days later, she said, she called up and she said, well, I didn't mean to hurt you.
Okay.
She couldn't understand that she had hurt me, and she does this with a lot of people. And I don't know whether it's she gets upset because people don't understand her, but she can lash out at people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and people on the spectrum often feel they misread situations. Mm-hmm. And they feel misunderstood, but meanwhile, they're the ones that are often misunderstanding, right? So they'll get reactive, and that's where I think some of the lashing out comes. But it's interesting. She did reflect on what you said and came back later and acknowledged that that wasn't her intent. Mm-hmm. So even though she didn't get it, she did listen. And her...
But she didn't say she was sorry either.
Right.
That to me comes along with it. And by 34, she should know these things. And she just doesn't. She doesn't think.
Okay.
About saying and how it affects.
But she should know these things if she was neurotypical. But if she's neurodivergent, she's not going to know these things, Judy. And so that's what you're.
That's what I was going to lead into, because two things, and that is, yes, she does need an assessment, and that's why we'd recommend a psychologist who works in spectrum issues and also can what's called, you know, differential diagnosis, meaning they can diagnose certain things that trying to get as accurate picture of what's going on inside of her. I think the other aspect is just for you, Judy, which is a tough work, because your work is different in the sense that I heard a couple times you say, well, she should know this and she's supposed to know that, but you've known her for 34 years and this is who she is and this is how she shows up in the world and this is how she shows up for relationship. I'm not saying you have to like it. I'm not saying you have to think that it's good, but I want you to work on accepting her as she is. Not as who you would want her to be more like. And I think that will help your daughter feel more safe to be in relationship with you. Because if you shift the expectations of like, hey, as far as deeper empathy, she doesn't have the capacity for it, you know, then you're not expecting it to be there. And I think that helps the relationship feel a little bit more connected, a little bit more safe. But if she is overtly cruel or mean, then that's different. You have boundaries around that. But I think there's some acceptance work on your part. But yes, I think, get her into a psychologist who can diagnose and do some assessments with her to understand what's going on inside.
I wonder, I'm thinking also the Amen Clinic.
Yeah.
That might be if you want a full assessment.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That might be a good place.
Yeah.
Too. So we can give you that information as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Stay on the phone, Judy. And but Judy's daughter is 34, so she could say that she doesn't want this treatment, right?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah. She would have
all
to want it.
All she could do is offer it.
Yeah. Yeah. So how would Judy frame it in such a way that her daughter might say, yes, it's time for this?
From what I understood, Judy said that her daughter, you know, kind of is aware of what's going on.
Okay.
So, and I think framing it in the positive, like, hey, helping understand ourselves helps us have healthier relationships.
Yeah. And helps us attract relationships when we have a greater understanding. So let's do some things to, you know, help bolster you up, sweetheart.
Yep. It's break time on New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. Yvette, you will be next. And who will be on after Yvette? Well, maybe it'll be you. Call in.
Hello, it's Becky Brown. I am so excited to launch our 99 for the One Partner Initiative. Every day we hear from people all over the world who are looking for hope. They've been lost in a relationship struggle, addiction, anxiety, depression, all kinds of ways. And it reminds us of the story in Luke 15, where the shepherd that leaves the 99 to go rescue the one. And you know, we've seen God work in the lives of so many people over the years here at New Life, and we want to invite you to be part of what God is doing. 99 for the One is our partner program that you can give to the ministry on a monthly basis to make sure that we continue to reach out to the lost.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433, or newlife.com/99-41.
I was sort of vaguely familiar that the 12 steps had some origination in the Bible. I found Life Recovery. And one of the things I liked so much was that it had such a broad appeal. It wasn't limited to just alcohol or drugs, that it was addressing a wide range of problems.
At New Life, we believe everyone can benefit from a life recovery experience. There are life recovery groups all over the country. They take place online, in conference calls, and in person. And if there isn't one in your area, we can help you start one. We have startup materials, leaders' guides, CDs, Bibles, and more, all with discounts available for groups. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask for Terry Ward. The 12 steps have long been a great help to people in recovery because much of the 12 steps' power comes from the fact that they capture principles clearly revealed in the Bible.
The 12 steps is really a pattern for all of us as Christians.
You can also find out more at liferecoverygroups.com.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
What's the cause of all your marital problems? The usual answer is, it's his fault or it's her fault. Well, have you ever considered that the struggle showing up in your marriage may not have started in your marriage? Many of us carry wounds, unmet needs, fears, and patterns that were formed long before we ever said, I do. Over time, those hidden hurts can surface as conflict, emotional distance, insecurity, disconnection, or loneliness inside the relationship we value most. But no matter how disconnected things may feel today, we believe your marriage is not beyond restoration. The Intimacy and Marriage Workshop cuts through surface-level counsel to address what really divides you and your spouse. You'll leave as a changed couple with new understandings and renewed spiritual, emotional, and physical intimacy. The next Intimacy and Marriage Intensive, the one you really need to come to, is the weekend of July 24th in Washington, D.C. You can visit newlife.com for all the details. 1-800-229-3000 is the number to get on the radio with us today. We've got Dr. Jill Hubbard and Chris Williams here for the rest of this hour and all of next, so that's like, what, 90 minutes or so? Call in, 1-800-229-3000. Let's talk to Yvette.
Well,
yes, please.
Sorry, Brian.
Go ahead.
Can I just add another comment for Judy?
Okay.
So, Judy, we also noticed that you were hurt by your daughter's lack of response, and it seems like you keep looking for her to have normal responses when she hasn't. And so I would, just like Chris, you were saying, just accept that. And so I might, like before Mother's Day, say, sweetheart, Mother's Day's coming up. My expectation is that I'm going to talk to you on Mother's Day, so I'd like you to be available. Hmm. Or, in fact, when are you available? Let's plan a call right now. So sometimes you have to step in, and with people that are on the spectrum, sometimes they do really appreciate knowing, okay, what's normal?
Yeah.
What do others do? And of people that I know, you know, I've had to do that. I actually have a stepsister who's high-functioning Asperger's, and I have to clue her in. Say, yeah. Let me clue you in what's going on right now, because I don't think you're quite seeing it.
That's
and
good.
She really appreciates it.
And Father's Day is coming up, so if anybody listening mm-hmm. has a son or daughter and that, like that, then they can say, hey, don't forget, it's on June 21st.
Mm-hmm. And, yep, there you go.
Yep. Yvette, listening on Sirius XM channel 131, hello, welcome to New Life Live.
Hello. Hi. Oh my goodness, there's been such good conversations today.
Hasn't there? Not because of me, it's because
yes,
of them.
Yes, it's amazing. And I love the previous, just, I wanted to comment on the one that just called about her daughter. My goodness, I've been a special educator and I'm an autism specialist for like 24 years. So I'm like, oh my goodness. First of all, I just want to let her know that she needs to just celebrate the accomplishment of her daughter, that she is independent. She's living in Florida. That is amazing to me, as that's what my goal is for all my students, to become independent. And it is difficult, right, to know the rules, the social rules, the social norms of this world. There's so many that we can't even see, right? And the feelings of the, what does sorry look like for her compared to her mama? You know, can I write a letter? Can I, you know, can I tell your mom in this way? But yeah, my heart goes out to mom, but also I celebrate her daughter's accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
One, another thing, is she okay living alone? What is she seeking in a relationship? So those are the things that I would just tell mama to just keep on praying, and also talk about what the social norms are. What's the abstract? Love look is abstract. Sorry is so abstract. What does sorry look like? Forgiveness.
Yeah.
You know, what does it look like? You know, those are the things that I teach my students and adult students that I speak to. But, well, another comment was, I'm a mama of 18-year-old twins and a 17-year-old. And, you know, I was lost for so long in my life when I was a teenager. So now, as a woman of Christ, I do talk to my children about sex. I'm very open. They're like, they want to, you know, they're always like, no, mom, please don't do that. I'm like, okay, no. I want to be the one talking to you about this. My husband's on the opposite side. He doesn't even want to even say the word. But I was lost. So I tell them, I don't want them to fall into the trap of the enemy of temptation. It's out there. So my question to you all is, when do I even stop and back off a little bit and trust them? Because I have this constant talk with them, and if I see, like, if they go out with a boy, I don't allow them to go by themselves. I, you know, they've got, they're blessed with their twin and their other sibling, so I send them with them. I never allow them to be alone, but sometimes I have. But I think it's just this burden as a mama, knowing the world, the dangers, especially today, of how to go about to stop, listen, and lean back, you know, and trust God. Trust God that you've done what you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
up to now.
Yvette, I love that you have created an environment where there's open dialogue about things that a lot of people don't talk a lot about. And when you don't talk about things, you're just kind of leaving it up to chance, right?
Yeah.
Of where they're going to get the messages. So you've made that, you know, you've made that a safe place for them. Now, at the same time, we can start harping on things out of our fear, right? Jim Burns always says, don't be a one-topic parent. And so out of your concern, like every time they go out, you're reminding them. So that can get excessive, and that's where they are going to tune you out. And so I think in talking to them, you want to start handing trust over to them, and letting them know that, you know, you believe in them, you want to trust them, and that some of this is your own fear. But instead of you talking mm-hmm. at them, I would want to be hearing what are their thoughts about it all. And say, mm-hmm. you know, when you were young, I talked a lot. What, you know, what did you glean from that?
Yeah.
Tell me what you're thinking. And see if they will tell you. You know, let's let them kind of explore the ideas out loud. Have you done any of that?
No, not in the open-ended conversation or mm-hmm. maybe because we always have dinners together and I tell them, okay, let's bring everything to the table. What's going on? You know, tell mm-hmm. me, tell us if there's anything that is happening right now with you. And we're open and we're all listening because what affects you will affect the family.
Mm-hmm.
One decision is going to affect everyone. And we're all here because we're all in it together.
Well, Yvette, okay, so if I can jump in with all of that. So there's actually a lot here. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, I just want to piggyback off of what Jill was saying, in that if you lead the sex talk with fear, it's prohibition fear of like, you're not talking with them, you're talking at them. You're not having a conversation. So beautiful. That's going to come across as controlling, not connecting.
Mm-hmm.
You want to connect with them on this. They also need a much broader view of sexual intimacy and not just what it isn't or what you don't want them or what you fear for them being. Because in that, the subtle message is, you know, and this is where it gets really tricky and difficult. Tons of sympathy because, you know, my wife and I were talking about this, of how to do this with our own sons all the time, of like, if we make sex this big, bad, dangerous thing, we assume that once they get married, a switch is going to flip, and it doesn't happen.
No.
It doesn't happen like that.
No.
And so we want to frame it not just in what it's not, but what it is, and that it is a gift of God. It is this wonderful, great thing. But we also, as Jill was saying, want to get them in the conversation. The other thing is that there's this term called enmeshment, and enmeshment means that we become overly emotionally connected with other people, and we are not able to step back and take responsibility and ownership and ultimately regulate our own emotions, our own and thoughts and all those sort of things. So when you say one decision from one person affects the entire family, I'm not saying that that's not necessarily true. I just think that that puts too much pressure. And what will happen is under that pressure, people will shut down. And once they shut down and feel that pressure, they'll want to avoid. So you want to find, I want you to do your own work to resolve your own past, resolve the fears, so that you can come into this, not by leading with love and curiosity, not leading with fear and control.
Our friend Dr. Jim Burns has written a book called A Student's Guide to Sexual Integrity.
That's right, yeah.
You think, yeah, oh, it's available
perfect.
In the newlife.com store, so Yvette, we encourage you to buy a copy of that. Again, it's called A Student's Guide to Sexual Integrity. 1-800-229-3000 is our number. We'll be right back.
90% of Christians have trouble with sex, have trouble with marriage, have trouble with communicating because we were not ever taught practical, basic things about intimacy, about marriage, about sex. We did a huge disservice to ourselves.
When you come to intimacy in marriage, you're going to be immersed into a 3-day process.
They taught us a ton of skills about connecting, about how to really help each other to feel seen and heard.
If you've thought, I don't think we can ever change, we're just in this rut and we can't get out, the Intimacy in Marriage Workshop can help you get out of the rut.
The Intimacy in Marriage Weekend is July 24th through the 26th in Washington, D.C. Register online at newlife.com or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and use the code NLL for a discount. 1-800-639-5433.
I think if everyone came earlier rather than later, they could save themselves years of misery and misunderstanding.
For over 35 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addiction, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
I found a counselor through New Life Ministries, and it's just been outstanding.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first steps toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door for a better tomorrow.
To get someone that's competent, that's good at what they do, it's been like day and night compared to what I've had before.
Call 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
In case you missed us announce it yesterday or you just want to hear it again because it's such exciting news, a generous New Life donor has increased their challenge by $50,000. So our matching gift total is now $300,000.
Wow,
we
awesome.
Are so thankful for this increase because the needs of those who are hurting, confused, and desperate don't stop. And right now, every gift gets doubled, allowing you to bring hope and freedom to even more people. You are part of every changed life. Every gift helps, and you can give by texting MATCH to 28950, by calling 800-NEW-LIFE, or by giving online at newlife.com. Let's go back to the phones. Manitoba, Canada is where we're going now, to Kevin, who listens to us on Sirius XM. By the way, if you have Sirius XM in your car, make sure you set a button for channel 131, because that's where we are every day. Hi, Kevin. Welcome.
Hey. Yeah, I'm here.
Awesome. How can we help you, man?
Well, my question is this. It's if porn is about emotional regulation, and where does Satan come in and Jesus? Like, I've done quite a lot of EMDR with that issue. I guess that's a symptom in a sense. And the devil has never come up once yet during that session, and Jesus only a few times. And I've done a lot of healing already, but I just try to have understanding on the spiritual side. It's almost like the devil is a byproduct of a unregulated nervous system or unhealed wounds and emotions, though. But that wouldn't be biblical because he's out there according to the Bible. So I'm just really trying to make sense and how to put it together.
All right, Chris?
Yeah, I think if I understand, you know, as you're working through addiction issues, you're working through trauma, working through a healing process, and some of the modern techniques, like you mentioned, EMDR and a lot of the other ones out there, it's like, well, where does our spiritual life and where does Christ fit into all of it? And I know this is oversimplistic, but I do want to start here. He's in all of it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look back at, for instance, the Gospel of Luke, you know, Luke's account of the gospel, what Jesus does and what Jesus brings to mankind is really two thematic, strong thematic processes. One is healing and the other one is forgiveness. And it was just, once you see it, you can't unsee it. It happens over and over and over again. So where we are involved in healing, you know, and we allow Christ into that place, when we allow Christ into our growth, into our forgiveness, into our addictive places, then the best way I like to say is it empowers it. It empowers it, the process of it, in a really strong way. Because you were mentioning, Kevin, that you did it, you're doing good work, because mm-hmm. mentioning that porn is a part of emotional dysregulation and it's an emotional regulator, well, yeah, it absolutely does that until it doesn't, meaning that it calms our emotions in a moment, but then dysregulates them on the back end. What that does is that disconnects us emotionally or creates emotional numbness, or what I call emotional deafness. When we get into recovery and our emotions are back in online, then we are able to relate to ourselves, Jesus, and others really, really well. God is in the midst of all of that. And so another huge aspect of it, as I just want to add in there, is that a lot of times in addiction recovery, especially sexual addiction recovery and addiction from porn, shame is the bus driver, is the psychological bus driver of the addiction itself. When we are connected and empowered through Christ in His Holy Spirit, we start to then have a much deeper understanding of grace and the power of grace to conquer shame. When we engage in open, honest relationship, we start to experience, confess your sins one to another, and you will be healed. We find healing in these places. And so the Bible and its words, its truths, its story becomes more alive inside of us, makes more sense as we're engaged in all of this. So I just want to, like, my answer to that is God's in it all.
Right. So another way I like to think about it is, which lens are you looking through to describe the problem?
That's
and
good.
So yep. Depending yeah. on the lens, like if you're looking at it at a biochemical level, yep. right? Yep. And your nervous system is dysregulated. Okay. Well, on a relational level, mm-hmm. right, when we connect with others, we know it helps to calm our nervous system.
Yeah.
When we connect with safe other people who can be attuned, right? Well, on a spiritual level, when we connect to God, when we connect to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, it calms our nervous system. And if you notice, when you're really dysregulated, it's hard to pray. It's hard to
yes.
read.
Yeah.
It's hard to go there. So as so sometimes you need other people to pray for you, but mm-hmm. it helps to calm your nervous system. Okay, when we're dysregulated, well, isn't Satan in all dysregulation
yes,
in
yeah.
this world? And so
where I started the show, yeah, do not fret, for it leads to all kinds of evil.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. So to stir us up and to trigger us and
yeah.
get us
yeah.
dysregulated, yes, it's the flesh, but it's also the enemy that comes in
for sure.
to steal, seek, and destroy.
And I think that's the point I was making. When we experience relational healing, emotional healing, mm-hmm. as well as physical healing, but like, what happens is we're able to be more whole,
mm-hmm.
more integrated, more connected.
Yeah.
And that's why healing in this process is so critically important, and why I'm not a big fan of bootstrap, beat yourself up into
right.
recovery or sobriety or goodness, because I'm like, that's not how God works.
Right.
And really, that's not how humans work. There's always a rubber band effect in the midst of all of
yeah.
that.
Well, and it's also, so there isn't a competition
that's
between
right. yeah.
the different modalities, right?
Yeah.
So the fact that you're not mentioning Jesus or Satan in EMDR, it's okay.
Yeah.
Because they're, like you're saying, they're still in it. Right?
Let me go on the other side. Mm-hmm. As a licensed marriage and family therapist in the state of California, I have actually a ethical obligation not to impose my faith on my clients.
Mm.
So that where my clients want it, then we can definitely mm-hmm. incorporate it. But there's times where I haven't. I cannot tell you how many times I've experienced God showing up in the room
mm-hmm.
without me hitting a D chord and saying Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. God is in it all. But does
the words aren't sanctified.
Yes. But, and that's, I think, our faith. When we deepen our faith, we start seeing God in so many other areas. But I think you were spot on the lens in which we see it through. And I think mm-hmm. the lens that I see things through is God created it all.
Mm-hmm.
God's in it all.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other aspect of this that's really important to mention, and it's just piggybacking off of you, Jill, and that is addiction is a biopsychosocial,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Biological, psychological, social disorder. But it would be a profound mistake if we didn't add a fourth, and that it is a spiritual ailment. It's a biopsychosocial
yeah.
spiritual. Listen, the most successful recovery program on planet Earth, and nothing comes close to it, is the 12-step movement. And even those numbers are not great, but I'll just say it's at least the most successful.
Mm-hmm.
It is a self-described spiritual program.
Hmm.
And so we understand that the condition of our soul, the condition of our spirit, is deeply impacted by our addictions and is also deeply impacted by our recovery.
Kevin, thanks for your phone call today. That reminds me that the Everyman's Battle Intensive for guys that are dealing with sexual integrity issues, it begins this weekend, this Friday, in Dallas, Texas. You can find out more at newlife.com. Also, what Chris was just talking about, the life recovery groups. We can find one near you. So call in. It could even be online. Call in to 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. And we're going to be in the studio for another hour with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Chris Williams. So if you want to call in, 1-800-229-3000. Donna and Ann, don't hang up. We'll get to you when we come back on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. The preceding program was pre-recorded.